To Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Roll away the dawn, roll away the dawn, and let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed at all? Sweet liberty is in our hands. It's part of the plan. Or is it a state of mind?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for being here tonight with us on Sweet Liberty. Today is Monday. It is the 3rd of October in the year 2005. And thank you for joining us tonight. Folks, I am letting you know that this broadcast is going to be discontinued. I have not yet spoken to WWCR. I've asked many times to please, from my inner knowing, my inner awareness, I've asked to know when it's time to give this up. And given the fact that this is a listener-sponsored broadcast, it's really been you who have always, for the past 8 years, you are the ones that have kept this broadcast on the air. And I know that we all know, this country is being taken down, and they aren't doing it very slowly, are they, folks? They took a long time building up to this, but they are now in a destructive mode, a tremendously destructive mode. And I know that those of you who have supported this broadcast, you have done so because you believed that to you the information that we've imparted to you was valuable. And you always have had and always will have my deepest, not just my gratitude, but my respect, because you took part and you played a great part. In fact, you were what kept this broadcast on the air. Finances are getting tough for everybody, and we are getting further behind in the airtime bill. And I know that every one of you are doing the very best you can do. And as I've told you, I ultimately, this bill is mine, and it's way beyond my means to pay it right now. And so I just really have no other choice. What I will do is give you my address. If any of you would like to help maybe reduce this a little bit, or I don't know, any of you anyway who are of a mind that you might want to, I'll give you my address. You'll get my address a little further. I haven't spoken with WWCR yet. I am supposed to do this in writing, which I will, and I know that I can fax it over to them, and that would be accepted as writing. I doubt very much that they're going to make me give a long notice, because I've been told, I did not hear this myself, but I've been told that Pete Peters has already mentioned that he wants the 9 p.m. time slot. And when somebody has the kind of funding that can do 40 hours of shortwave a month, I'm sure he'll have no problem picking up this time slot. So I wanted to say that to you. This has not been easy for me, let me tell you that. But it feels that there is no other alternative. I want to share with you, I've done this before. This is for our spiritual message this evening. This is titled, Live a Life That Matters. Ready or not, someday it will all come to an end. There will be no more days, no hours, nor minutes. All the things you collected, whether treasured or forgotten, will pass to someone else. Your wealth, fame, and temporal power will shrivel to irrelevance. It will not matter what you owed or what you were owed. It will not matter what you owned or what you were owed. Your grudges, resentments, frustrations, and jealousies will finally disappear. So too your hopes, ambitions, plans, and to-do lists will all expire. The wins and losses that once seemed so important will fade away. It won't matter where you came from or on which side of the tracks you lived. It won't matter whether you were beautiful or brilliant. Your gender, skin color, ethnicity will all be irrelevant. So what will matter? How will the value of your days be measured? What will matter is not what you bought, but what you built. Not what you got, but what you gave. What will matter is not your success, but your significance. What will matter is not what you learned, but what you taught. What will matter is every act of integrity, compassion, courage, and sacrifice that enriched, empowered, or encouraged others to emulate your example. What will matter is not your competence, but your character. What will matter is not how many people you knew, but how many will feel a lasting loss when you're gone. What will matter is not your memories, but the memories that live in those who loved you. What will matter is how long you will be remembered by whom and for what. Living a life that matters doesn't happen by accident. It's not a matter of circumstance. It's a matter of choice. Choose wisely. Well, I thought and thought and thought about what did I want to do if this were my last broadcast or at least the last three broadcasts. And you know, folks, it just seems that over these past, well, this broadcast has been listener-sponsored for 8 years, but actually, I've been doing radio for 10 years. It's a long time. And if we were not in such a hole with our airtime bill, I would continuing on. I know that I would. And maybe this is the reason why we've gotten so far behind, because maybe it's just time. Just time to give it up, let it go, and hope and pray that you take with you from having heard these broadcasts over these past many years, maybe you take with you information, knowledge, understanding, and I would hope that that would be so. But anyway, I haven't done this. Girls, stop it. I'm sorry that Mariah and Molly are in here, and they think it's their playground when I'm on the air, and the growling that we hear is just their play. It's their play voices. It's Mariah's play voice. I went out yesterday to get some potatoes out of the garden and some beans, picked a green pepper and a tomato for dinner, and actually I had put a chicken in the oven, but I was too hungry to wait, so I wound up eating, and so I wound up putting everything in the fridge. But anyway, it was so beautiful out there, And I've always got so much to do, and I'm always so far behind the eight ball that I really never allow myself what we would call... I do. I shouldn't say that because I do, because my sister and I play a game of Yahtzee just about every single day on the telephone. But, I mean, for me, my to sit and read is, to me, one of the pleasures in life. And I went out there, and it was so beautiful. And so I got a book that I had been reading that I had laid down for a while. And I went out and sat under the mulberry tree at the table and began reading. And it was just what lovely. It was one of the most, I guess, enjoyable times that I've had. And I used to do this occasionally when Chuck was here, not necessarily when he was home, but it was different, yes, because even if he wasn't home, I always knew he was going to be back. And I don't know why I haven't given myself this, because it isn't that I couldn't. Time doesn't fall into our lap. We have to make time for those things that mean something to us. But anyway, I got these two books. And, you know, they kind of, in a sense, go together. The book that I'm referring specifically to first is one that was a gift from Jeff. It's titled 30,000 Gods Before Jehovah. And because it's been a while, I started right from the beginning. And I was reading stuff and I thought, oh, man, you know, this is, it sounds so much like, you know, how Alan Watt has given us so much of the language and the words and what the words mean, but how many words there are that really mean the same thing. And so I wanted to share some of this with you tonight. And I don't want to start right from the beginning, but I wanted to be able to give you enough. I'm sorry, I think I'm taking my face away from the mic. I wanted to be able to give you enough of the chapter before. He refers to the gods as L-E-L or L-I-I-L-L-I. And he spends quite a bit of time showing us how many words have those together letters in them. Even Illinois, La or L. Let me see, where do I want to start here? Oh, okay, I'm going to give this a try. I'm going to start the chapter before the chapter that says Jehovah was a man. The Ari, A-R-I, maybe it's R-I, Ari, the princes of creation. Princes, not princesses, but princes of creation. There is another word of vast importance in the scheme of things throughout the world in prehistoric times. This is the word Ari, the name of the number two man who ranked below the gods, yet above the people. The Aries were at first the plowmen. Agriculture is agriculture. It was first introduced in each country from Mexico to China by the gods. This is lowercase g, by the way, because these beings, whoever the heck they were, held themselves as gods, and they were worshipped as gods, folks. In Peru, a sacred plot is reserved in the garden where only the Inca's god plowed. Ideas such as the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Zeus, the Garden of Allah, the Garden of Hesperides, the Garden of As, A-S, all suggest the primitive importance of agriculture. Ari took on the meaning of first. Aristocrats. Aristocrats were the first of the land. All right, excuse me. All right, you girls, that's enough. Right now, get, go. They were about to knock my table over. Mariah is 150 pounds. Close to 150 pounds, and Molly's 45. And they get playing, and Mariah plays just like a little puppy with her rolling over on her back and getting really into it. Anyway, I'm sorry for the interruption. All right. So Ari took on the meaning of first. Aristocrats were the first of the land. Many Greeks had this word incorporated in their name, Aristotle and Aristophanes. Aristophanes, excuse me. Now listen, I could brutalize some of these names, and if I do that, please look over it, will you? Just overlook it, if you will, and don't let it bother you. It bothers me a lot to mispronounce words, but if you don't know how to pronounce it, that's the chances are you're going to. So Aristotle and Aristophanes are examples of Ari, meaning first. The word first so originated and is the same word as prince. Princes under the kings were a later formation of the Aries under the gods. Harry, Andari, Henry, Indira, India are formations of the same word. In ancient Ireland, the Aries were second rank under the Ludes or the Lees or the gods, for such were the Toth, the Dianan. I don't know what that means. Ireland itself is named after the Ari and called Erin or Ireland. The German word of salutation, Herr, is the same word. It means lord or prince, or is left untranslated. The old Herr was the old man who bestowed the emblems of royalty to the aristocrats, and the custom became known as heraldry. The practice became a ceremony attended with trumpets and trappings. You might like to know the author of this book. I should give it to you. It is quite fascinating, and I could tell you that it really goes very much alongside of a lot that we learned from Alan. This is by Henry Binkley, B-I-N-K-L-E-Y, Stein, S-T-E-I-N. It's titled 30,000 Gods Before Jehovah. So the just a minute, where was I? Oh, the old hair, German word, a salutation is the same word as Ari, evidently. It means lord or prince, or is left untranslated. The old hair was the man who bestowed the emblems of royalty to the aristocrats, and the custom became known as heraldry. The practice became a ceremony attended with trumpets and trappings. Our salutation, Mr. or Master, is simply a return to the seafaring days of the gods. The hair of the mast, or the mist, that is darkness, the hair who dared go beyond known land. Hence, mystery, or the ship was the number two man below, the owner. Okay, I'm going to read that again. Our salutation, Mr. or Master, is simply a return to the seafaring days of the gods. The hair of the mast, that would be the mast hair, I guess, or the mist, was the number two man below, the owner. The word sir or lord is the abbreviated form used in letters. Osiris, as we have mentioned before, Osiris, or the Lord of the Sun, was the first god of importance in Egypt. As we have mentioned before, Darius, Cyrus are variations of this word, Osiris. As the hairs became more numerous, work was more diversified. The boss of the meat shop, think about this, the butcher of the baking, the bake hair, and of the banking, the bank hair, and so on, until it became a common ending for any word of action. The place of action was the airy. The place of action was the airy. Thus the brewer brewed in the brewery. The airy were the leaders of armies for the gods. The airy were the first rank in the legion nation of the Cilicians that invaded Gaul. The Ari were the leaders of armies in general. The Takhari were a Celtic tribe that fought in Egypt in 1300 B.C. Takhari. It's just amazing when this guy keeps putting these words together, folks. I'm sorry about that noise. I hit the microphone with it. Switzerland is the land of the Swai hares, or the second hares, and her hares, and this is H-E-R-R, by the way, folks, and furnished, listen to this, Switzerland, and furnished tall, good-looking soldiers. Hares were sold for money for the Pope's guard as well as for many kings in the Middle Ages. Almira was the Arabian high priest. Ilkari was the Khan of the tribe. Vidari is the sacred emperor of Japan. It's D-A-R-R-I, folks, is the sacred emperor of Japan, whose face, like that of the sacred emperor of Peru, must not see the sun, and whose foot, like that of the sacred Montezuma of Mexico, must not touch the ground. In fact, anyone who will take the time to search out will find the Japanese nobility a group of Harries who place themselves above the people as gods some 125 or 126 generations ago. Arito was ambassador to America, and Hanahara was the name of another Japanese of high repute. The samurai are the leaders of Japan now. In China, the secondary men of importance are the mandarin, or the religious noblemen who administer to the people. In Egypt, at Deir el-Bahari, at Luxor, is shown in stone the marriage of the queens to the gods. Harem is a related word to the ceremony. Re signified the supreme ruler, as in Amun-Ra, pharaoh of Egypt. Prince Harriman. That name's familiar, isn't it? This is spelled H-E-R-R-E-M-O-N. Prince Harriman was king of Ireland about 2,500 years ago. He was a Toth Danaan, a god who reigned at Tara. The name Harriman was held by an American financier not long ago. And the Bushes, aren't they part of that family, folks? Hermann is the German form. Hera was the wife of Jupiter. Eris was a Greek god. Demigods, or half-gods, were heroes. But perhaps the Irish called them the O'Haras. The word Caesar means a hare of the Cassites, who in turn were probably the greatest and most powerful tribe of the Elves, the gods. Upon a high peak of the Cashin Mountains is a sacred shrine dedicated to the Cashin Jupiter. Cassius the Assassin, or Caesar, bore the same name. The German and English name Henry was furnished the name of kings for time immemorial. 80 consecutive kings of a tribe of Germans bore the name Henry, which means the hairy. Harland, Harlem, Orlando, Harrison, Eric are but wide variations of the same name and all have the same meaning. The original home of the Phoenicians, a tribe of gods, was Hyperia, a land beyond Iria. Hyperion was a very early Greek god. Shakespeare placed the word in Hamlet's mouth. Hesperides was the home of the fabled daughters of Atlas. Hyberia was in Spain. Siberia was in Asia. Algeria in Africa. And Bavaria was in Central Europe, and possibly not related to the hills of the gods, for it contains the headwaters of both the Rhine and the Danube. The Danube River, the Dardanelles, Thor of the Danites, of the Ili, That's in parentheses. The Danube River, the Dardanelles, the Toth, the Danaan of Ireland are not so hard to correlate when one will remember the locals of the gods always included, the locales of the gods always included an island. He mentions Crete in here. Island, a river, and a hill. Areola was a very ancient city in Belgium, a land named after the god Bel, and Aeroi Ovistus was a king of ancient Germany. The king of ancient Ireland was elected by the Ares and was called the Ard Rig Erend. The word rite or kryptos is derived from the Ari, A-R-I, as is also the word arithmetic, the measure of the Ari. The words hair, H-E-I-R, leads to the belief that the gods had descendants who were first in line for receiving the heirs. Such words as Alfrederic, Roderick, Ira, Hiram, Patrick, Catherine, Mary, and Sarah are variations of the word Ari, and all mean noble, and noble means the high L. The word Mary is more common than Henry or Harry. Mary was the star of the sea. Mare was the word for sea, as now shown in marine or mariner. As in Roman days, every girl was named Julia, so in very early days, every woman was a Mary. Women attended their husbands in sea expeditions from the islands. The Els or the Ili gave them numerous names such as Helen, Sylvia, Belle, Ethel, Callie, Lula, Nellie, Ophelia, Phyllis, Tallulah, Mahala, Amelia, or Adelia. But to the people, every woman was a Mary, as the taking of a Mary. Before the coming of the famous Ili, the savages ran in tribes and were polygamous, the strongest man generally succeeding. But the blood and lineage coming from a holy mother who was queen of the tribe. This held almost universally. Eve was the queen mother, the mother of all living. The poem, that was in quotes, the poem Prometheus Bound relates how the people all that time, at that time, were without knowledge. No craft they knew, this is a quote, no craft they knew to build the sunlit porch. End quoting. Rome was divided into two classes, the patricians, or those who could identify their father, patri, and the plebes, or bastards, who could not. The patricians were of the Ili blood, as they always paid much attention to their genealogies. The plebes, a backward spelling of the word people, were a mixed lot, carrying some of the Ili blood and a lot of the aboriginal. The institution of marriage through the line of inheritance to the male, where it has been ever since. And he said the gods instituted marriage. We're taking a break here, folks. We'll be back right after this. And if you get your pen in your hand, you will get my address right now.
Listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70, and worldwide on the internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petru's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petru, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petru, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
All right, we're back, folks. If you happen to tune in late, you are listening to Sweet Liberty. And I announced at the beginning of the broadcast that we will be going off the air. And this may be our last week. It may be our last day. It depends on how much forenotice WWCR wants to give. I believe that we'll be here through Wednesday. In fact, maybe that's if they will allow me to leave without a two-week notice, that we will wind this up on Wednesday. And the reason we're doing it is because we cannot, we just cannot keep up with the airtime bill. And this is not a complaint, folks, because we've done this, you've done this for 8 years, and you've just, you're magnificent as far as I'm concerned. And I think that there are broadcasters who shake their heads in wonder how this ever happened. I know that twice Adam Locke made a statement to me on two different occasions how he and George, that is the general manager of WWCR, just couldn't get over how our listeners kept supporting this broadcast. And you certainly have done it, folks. And I am, as I said, I'm sorry to say, but we're just getting too far behind, and I just cannot let it go any further. What I've been reading out of is a book titled 30,000 Gods Before Jehovah. And what I'm going to do, okay, I'm right at the bottom of this anyway. This one page, and then it starts a new chapter. He's talking about the lines of the different gods. Now, I don't know about you, but nothing ever has explained to me, and nobody has even come close to giving me some type of an explanation as to how the different colors and races came here. And I will tell you, I don't hold this like truth. I want you to know it. But I certainly am of the mind of the possibility that this planet has been visited in the past, and maybe more than once. Now, whether they be human-type beings or other dimensional, when they come into the physical and manifest in the physical, they're in a physical type of a body, aren't they? I don't know about you. I just, there's just too many unanswered questions. And, you know, I have read Zachariah Sitchin's work, and it's been said that his work is fraudulent, and maybe it is, because I don't know, because I can't read those Sumerian words. And it has been said that because I evidently in Sumer, which was about 6,000-7,000 years ago, that there were two or three words, like in our language, in our English language, that could mean totally different things. The same word, like our bear, and different words. And that Zachariah Sitchin just took liberties. That may be so. I do know, at least I read on one of the jackets of his books, that he attended the London School of Economics. That's an insider school. That's an elite, a school for the elite. Because, of course, his work claims that the beings that peopled this planet, not the creator, but the beings that peopled this planet, were from a planet Nibiru, the 12th planet in the solar system. And according to the writings, that planet makes a very long elliptical circle. It's transit. So it comes back near the planet Earth around every 34 or 3600 years. I don't recall exactly. And it's called the 12th planet. Now, in the astrological chart, there are 12 houses. And there are only 11 planets, and that would include the 9 planets and the sun and the moon. And that gives us 11, and there's one missing. One of the things that made me wonder and take some, how would you call, see that there could be a possibility of such a planet, is that I recalled reading in an astrological book a long time ago that, and I'm not an astrologer, I'm interested in it. I don't think it's sinful. And anybody who's ever had an astrological chart run, and this isn't like to tell the future, by the way, it would be very hard for you to doubt that it was coincidence. What an individual who has your birth time and your exact birth date and place, they don't have to know you. And they just give you the information and you read it. And very few people I have ever known. In fact, I really haven't known anyone who ever had a chart done that didn't find so much of themselves in it. And it's not generic either, because sometimes it's very specific. But anyway, I read the fact that because there's only the 11 planets, that the planet, or the Taurus, those people born under the sign of Taurus, said Taurus planet is missing, but it will return. And until that time, when they do an astrological chart on Taurus, they borrow the planet Venus from Libra to use as the guide. And I know that Alan would say, I'm all wet and I shouldn't even be talking about this, but it is my broadcast, and I am talking about it, and I'm not going to delve into it further. But these books, like this 30,000 Gods Before Jehovah, there's another book I have here. I actually had thought about calling the author and seeing if we could get him to come on with us. It's the name of the book, and I had this mailed to me from the publisher. There wasn't a note with it, so I do not know who mailed it to me, but there wasn't a bill with it. It's titled Gods, Genes, and Consciousness, Non-Human Intervention in Human History by Paul Von Ward. And he could be one of the elite, too. And it could be all baloney. But there certainly are a lot of questions, aren't there, folks? For example, the fact that the elite were white, and yet the white race is being eliminated. It's being mixed up with all the other races. And that is a question that I still have in my mind. When Alan was telling us about it, and this author mentioned it also, about the fact that one of the pharaohs was red-headed. They were white, these so-called gods. What's his name? Quetzalcoatl of the Aztecs, the Mexicans. Their god was described as a white. And if it was true that these beings who peopled this planet with their seed, if they were white, why is the white race being annihilated today? That is just a question that I live in, because I don't know. Anyway, here's one last paragraph. He says, it seems in this chapter, it seems that the Aries were not a separate line in themselves. They were selected men, perhaps partly of royal Eli blood and part plebeian. The point is not fully settled. Enough has been established to show that the method of the Eli was to have an intermediary link between themselves and the people. as today it's very difficult for an ordinary citizen to gain a conference with any man of national importance. So in prehistoric days, the gods never came in contact with the people except through the offices of a number two man, an Ari, such as Moses or Aaron. The masters of the ship did the navigation, but the royal Eli passengers told them where to go, and the orders were given to the scullion slave. And then here's the chapter titled Jehovah Was a Man, and this is quoting from 1 Chronicles 17:5. For I have not dwelt in a house since the days that I brought up Israel. And another one from 2 Samuel 7:5. Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt unto this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. See, my concept of our Creator does not have a physical body. Not that, quote, that a physical body could not be manifested, but it goes way beyond that. And for the, quote, Creator of all the universes, of all that is, to say, oh, well, I haven't lived in a house since the days I brought Israel out of Egypt. I walk in a tent and in a tabernacle. Idalia, that Alia, was a town in the island of Cyprus in ancient days, sacred to Aphrodite and to Venus. Cyprus was the home of the Adonai, the lords who ruled small cities on the mainland. A local god was called Adonai. The name is joined up with that of Jehovah in the word Adonai Yah, a biblical surname. The story of Venus and Adonis, as told by Shakespeare, is but a poetical sublimation of the orgies held upon Cyprus and even at Byblos on the mainland. The Israelites were often admonished not to attend such degenerate pleasure jaunts. Baal was the supreme deity. It is a name common in many countries throughout the world. Belgium, Baltic, Belfast, Baltimore are northern words derived from Baal, that's B-A-A-L. Venus, Adonis, Uranus, and Aphrodite were of the L line and were of the royal race of Cyprus. To the south of this locality in Egypt, Osiris was the first god of any consequence. Predating Osiris, there was nothing of importance in Egypt. East of the Nile, there is the plain of Shur, the mountain of Shur, and the river Shur, that's S-H-U-R. Likewise, there was another great Egyptian god, Horus, from which we get our word horse, the god of time, hours, and who brought the horse into Egypt. East of the Nile, there is the Mount Hor, which is the locality of Mount Sinai. And there was a race of Horites, a not uncivilized people, yet profligate like all at that time. Horus and Osiris were the white men of the L line. The river Nile was their river. Elephantine Island and Crete were their islands. Do you remember Alan telling us? In fact, I think it's in one of his books that there's evidence that the religions of the world were written from the island of Crete, where they sat there, and then the priests, the Eli maybe, left, or the Ari, and they just went around the world spreading whichever religion was going to be given to those particular people at that particular time. Okay. Oh, yeah, okay, they were the white... I lost my place. Just a minute here. Horus and Osiris were the white men of the L line. The river Nile was their river. Elephantine Island and Crete were their islands. As Horus brought in the horse, so Osiris brought in the bull, Apis. There was the cult of Osir, and there was the cult of Apis. and later they were joined into the cult of Osirapus or Serapis, from whence sprang Nineveh, and which now may be seen in the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York. Osiris was the eldest son of Saturn, a famous world god, from whom we get the word Saturday. Between these two locations, Byblos, Cyprus, Tyre, and Phoenicia on the one hand, and Egypt, the Nile, and Memphis on the other, there came into play the maneuvers of another strain of gods. Jehovah states that Jeel is his name, and Je means Lord, and El means God. Jehovah Elohim is his name, and there are two original manuscripts of Genesis. In the one, the word God is Elohim, Elohistic, and in the other, the word for God is Jehovah, Jehovistic. Jehovah told Moses that he had a somewhat different name from the God of Abraham, for he was not known to Abraham by the name Jehovah, that Jehovah was a man, that Moses and Israel thought of him as nothing else but a living man, is evidenced in many places. Jehovah agreed to show his feet, his hands, his back, his face, his neck, his whole person, his whole person except his face. But Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abim, and 70 of the elders of Israel went and saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet a paved work of sapphire stone, and upon the nobles of Israel he laid not his hand. Many instances show that God ate and drank. To Moses he said, I come to thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak to thee. Ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. Take heed, go not up the mount. These are different sentences, and they are each in their own quote mark, so this isn't a paragraph, folks. These are different sayings, quotes by Jehovah. I come to thee in a thick cloud, that the people not may hear when I speak to thee. And another one, ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. Another, take heed, go not up the mount, Sinai. Whosoever touches this mount shall surely be put to death. Set bounds upon the mount and sanctify it. And thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron, but let not the priests nor the people. That's end quoting Jehovah. All this and many passages too numerous to quote show that the person of Jehovah was concealed from the people, that Jehovah lived on Sinai and did not want any people to visit there, that he led the children much after the fashion of an army is also shown in many places. Quote, the Lord is a man of war. Another one, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud, and by night in a pillar of fire. Here's another, thrice in a year shall all your men children appear before the Lord. He directed the children of Israel to build a tabernacle, which was his traveling tent. In the tabernacle there was a dividing wall between which he stood and gave his directions. The best of all, the food, the gold, the women captives were brought to the tabernacle for the Lord. The veil and the concealed face served to provide a substitute and also prohibit recognition of the God when seen in the open. Thus, one God apparently led the children of Israel for 400 years. Jehovah spoke from Mount Sinai. In fact, his home was there, for he told Solomon that he had not lived in a house since the Israelites left Egypt. He was a busy guy, wasn't he, folks? Moses and Aaron were the Aries, the number two men. The Roman word vicar means viceroy. Oh. They served as the link between the God and man. The angel of the Lord was a messenger of the God excuse me, the angel of the Lord was a messenger of the God and man. The angel of the Lord was a messenger of the God, for that is the literal translation of the word, messenger of God. The angels served much as the prime ministers of today. Jehovah also had a small but good private army of his own. Occasionally there were seen the soldiers, the first fruits of the land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord. The rich shall not give more now, this poor less than a half a shekel. He gave Moses the commandments and the, quote, writing. The writing was the writing of God. It was puzzling to know where the Israelites got their wealth to give Jehovah until the following passage was found. Listen to this. You've heard this before. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor jewels of silver and of gold and raiment. Put them on your sons and your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. That's when he told the children of Israel to steal from their neighbors. Here's another one. Sanctify the firstborn, both of man and beast. It is mine. Another one. Thou shalt not revile the gods. Moses alone shall come near the Lord. Another one. Come up to me. And to the mount, and I will give thee tablets of stone. You cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Neither let the flocks or herds feed before the mount. Another, an offering to the Lord, gold, silver, and brass. Another, and he set bread in upon it before the Lord. And he compassed Mount Seir for many days. Seir, I guess it is. Thus the Lord set about to lead the children of Israel, and at the same time to live upon them. For, quote, when the Most High, Amenhotep, an Egyptian pharaoh, divided the lands, Israel was the Lord's. Such a levy of the Lord could be taken down the river. For the day of the Lord shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, upon all the high mountains, upon all the hills, upon every high tower and fenced wall, and upon all ships and pleasant pictures. That's from Isaiah 2:14. At Jericho and other towns, the women and children all were utterly massacred, and all the houses were burned, and only the gold and silver was brought to the Lord. To what benefit was gold and silver to the Lord, if not to trade? From the hilltop down the river to the islands prompted the words of Isaiah, keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. In other words, the draining out of the country of the gold and silver, the firstborn of the beasts, the first fruits of the land, not to say the firstborn of the people, was too much for the people. The islands grew richer. Hence the prophet said, let the people renew their strength. And this is a quote, be still, we inhabitants of the isle, thou whom the merchants of Zidon, the pass over the sea, have replenished. The harvest of the river is her revenue, and she is the mart of the nations. Apparently, Jehovah, or Jehovah, never compromised very much with Baal. Baal and Jehovah were constantly at war. When things went wrong, Jehovah had an alibi. Israel had disobeyed. Jehovah constantly reminded the Israelites that he led them from Egypt. In fact, the personality of Jehovah then was about that of the average politician of today, who is constantly reminding the desired voter of an unfulfilled obligation. Jehovah sold the Israelites here and there at times. Not unlike the head of a lodge today would sell the proceeds of the collections to the head of another lodge. Just before the time of Saul, there was a lull in the activities of the god. Eli, the chief priest, ruled in his stead. Perhaps Jehovah was sojourning upon some island, as the work of his plundering would necessarily require a vacation. The arrangements of the veil were very satisfactory. But when the God had found a successful line in the persons of David and Solomon, wealth poured into Jerusalem. Shortly before Troy had fallen, Ilium was the favored city of the gods. When a successful king favorable to the gods ruled in Jerusalem, the wealth of the fleeing gods flowed into that city. Word went out, Jerusalem was safe. Wealth flowed in, ships brought gold. But Jeel and Solomon parted ways, and the wealth went away as fast as it came. Jeel left also. He went back to Mount Hor and to his home on the mountain. Here's where Elijah, and then in parentheses it says, God is Jehovah, went to consult him. Elijah was one of the faithful. Here it was in the Bible that Jehovah was raised to the eminence of divine ruler of the universe. Here it was in the Bible that Jehovah was raised to the eminence of divine ruler of the universe. Doesn't say creator, does it, folks? Ruler of the universe. Here it was that the glorification of Jehovah began. But Jeel was never active again. The oracular ways of government were on the wane. Indeed, the L line was finding better lands to plunder in Rome. Rome was virtually founded after the fall of Troy, and many gods may have migrated there. There was the Dark Age about 1000 BC, just like the one after Charlemagne about 1000 AD. Now, we have to close this off, and I pretty much finished that. I just wanted for you to hear that, for you to have something to think on. Those who are still kind of standing on the edge, the religion, folks, the religions that have been given us are man-made. And I hope that when you know this, that you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. We'll probably be back tomorrow night with you. Good night, and thanks for being here.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen. There's a reason for it. To secure the blessing.